We are only minutes from starting the show. And more people join in on the conference line. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi.
Good evening. Yes, please go ahead.
Yvonne from Florida.
Good evening, Yvonne. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Sherry, Boulder City.
Welcome to the call. From Boulder.
Dwayne, SBCGlobal.net is a phone company. Gives you internet service. S as in Sam. B as in boy. C as in cat. SBCGlobal.net.
Oh, that sounds like they're from Texas. No wonder you can't spell it.
Ron, are you here?
Listen, you should have been on earlier. We needed you to translate from English for Dwayne.
I know.
Welcome to the call, Ron, and more people. Can please say your name and location.
I was Don from Rexville. Hi, everybody.
Hey, good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right. I have a bunch of people to call. It's 6 o'clock. I know Wynn is here with us and taking care of some stuff. I welcome the next person. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, Joe from Chicago.
Hey, Joe. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much. Donna, hello, everybody.
Hello, Donna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, Donna from Great Falls. Are you the same Donna that was with Dave in Arizona?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you went back to Montana.
Yeah, I went back to Montana for a while.
Okay. I thought I recognized your voice. We wondered what happened to you.
Traveling, but not in nanoseconds yet.
A heck of a road trip.
Is Terry there?
I believe
Hello,
so.
Terry.
I know so.
You see her there?
You know what? She just got out again.
She what?
She's muted.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
Unmute her, Terry.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Barbara from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Barbara. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Barbara, aren't you on the outskirts of Philadelphia?
I actually am. How did you know that?
That's my job.
My heart belongs in Philadelphia, but I'm a longtime Philadelphia resident. But I have moved to the outskirts.
You're not up on Easton Road somewhere, are you?
No. I'm actually in New Jersey.
Just across the bridge. The Benjamin Franklin Bridge, right?
I'm actually just across both bridges.
I see.
Like right in between those two bridges.
Okay.
Like 1 minute from the bridge, from the Walt Whitman, and like 3 minutes from the Ben Franklin.
Yeah, that's where I'm from, too.
Oh, really? What town?
Dover.
I'm sorry?
Dover, originally.
Oh, okay. I'm in Collingswood, New Jersey.
Dover, where is Terry here?
Yes.
Oh, you're here.
Yes. I was on earlier, and I got dropped off.
Oh, you're
back.
We were looking for you. Okay, I'll come back.
I don't know. It got dropped. But I came back.
We are live on DBS, and it is 6:03. Are you ready? You're not ready to start, are you, Terry?
No, I'm never ready. I saw your email, which I don't usually read, and I go, oh, my.
did I screw it up? I screwed it up, right?
No, you didn't. No, you didn't screw it up at all.
Bettina, are there any questions?
Right. I read the questions, and I went, oh, my. I shouldn't read them beforehand.
Well, Gary said I asked some of those questions last week, but I don't think I did. I think I left the same headline as last week because I was rushing it out.
Oh.
And,
but I don't think you asked.
Don't forget about Edna.
And I have Edna's question first on the list. Edna, are you here?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to ask her question. Okay, so I'm going to mute everybody. And
muted.
Anybody want to say anything before you... Oops.
Unmuted.
Anyone want to say anything before you get muted? Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay.
We love you, Win.
Muted. Unmuted.
Who said that?
You're the man, Win.
Gary?
I get so few compliments. I have to remember them. I'll send you more emails. You know why I don't get compliments? Do you know why? I mean, tell you.
We think so.
It's because I'm edgy. And part of me thinks that love would control me. Not high love, but, you know. Have you ever been controlled by love? Somebody said they loved you and they had all these expectations. I know you guys don't have expectations except to graduate this realm.
We all did.
And
muted.
Okay, everyone's muted. And hey, this is let's see, Wednesday, 27th. March 27th.
Not recording yet.
Oh, thanks for reminding
me. This conference is being recorded.
This is Wednesday, March 27th. Winfrey in Carlsbad, California. Terry Brown in Sedona, Arizona. And all of you everywhere. And, you know, one of the great things about connecting with these sources is, some of you are noticing, people come in to these calls starry-eyed and suddenly they're in the middle of it. And what happens is, in case you haven't noticed, is that your karma comes up. You can no longer run away. Well, you can, but it's not so easy to run away from your karma. What is your karma? Your track, your template, all these things you've been carrying, the habits of past lifetimes, you know, the hang-ups of your parents that I know for myself, for many years of my life, all those things felt like who I was. In other words, you come into this realm and you come in with a certain set of, I'm calling it a template, you could call it a personality, you know, you could call it hang-ups, you could call it karma. And you don't know you have karma. You don't know that that's not you. You get up every day and there it is and you think that's you. Well, it is you in terms of attaching itself to you. It is not the real you, the deepest you, but it feels like you. And at some point in your life, anyone on a spiritual path has to confront, look at, observe, deal with the parts of themselves that they took for granted were really them and realize they're not them. And then face going through them and getting over them. And how do you get over all those things? That is why we do these calls. That's why we ask questions. Because I would assume every one of you who keeps coming to these calls is in some state of confrontation with yourself. And including me, including Terry, including Daphne, there's a provocation to confront yourself. And one of the things I discovered is that there's no arriving. It's always et cetera. It's always what's next. And suddenly, you're driving this body through a physical universe, but the part of you that's driving isn't in the universe, or isn't in this realm. It's in the universe, but it's not in this realm. And learning how to maneuver yourself from a higher vantage point and maneuvering yourself around all those boulders that have been there from the past, from all your lifetimes, from this lifetime. So I really thank all of you for showing up. I really do. Those of you that show up regularly are really my teachers. And I learn so much from doing these calls. One of the things I learn is I can talk, and I usually don't put my foot in my mouth. Just potato chips. but it's amazing that I can do this and start talking, and it seems to come out in such a cogent way. But, you know, on some level, it's not me talking. It's us talking. It's kind of like I'm channeling us. And it's coming through my mouth because I feel you. I feel you when we're on these calls. And I so want to deliver to you the things that are important for you to understand, to operate in this realm better, because it's not easy. And especially when in this period of time, when there is such transition, so much unpredictability about everything. And I'd like to be able to tell you, I would like to say, hey, there's nothing to worry about. We're talking to the Elohim. Everything's going to be fine. But they don't say that. They say we're creating the future. And I say to myself, geez, well, we've come a long way from a few years ago in terms of making connection with a lot more people. But it just seems like we've scratched the surface, you know? And every day I'm waking up and saying, how do we reach more people? How do we do that? You know, today, I'll tell you what I did. I'm in Carlsbad. Now, don't ask me, how's it going? Don't ask me if anything happens. What I've learned is most of the time, nothing ever happens. But you keep doing them and something happens. But if you don't do anything, nothing happens. I have to follow the same advice that I tell everyone else. If they're looking for a job, they've got to keep looking, and they can't look for the outcome. So today, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Hay House Publishing. But they publish Wayne Dyer. They publish that couple that would channel, Abraham Hicks and Esther. And I think they publish quite a few people. And they happen to have their office in Carlsbad. So what I did today was I made 5 little packages of information with all these testimonials from people. And on the cover, I pasted this thing. God, I should read it. It's something that's on Amazon. Somebody put up, which I really love. Let me see if I can find it. You know, probably can't. Pictures of Terry channeling and everything, telling them, I think that, let me see, is this in here? Hang on. Here it is. Here's that quote from Amazon. This is my favorite, I think this is one of my favorite quotes, although we get amazing emails. This presentation by Winfrey just feels so right. It's either a divine revelation or a preposterous, though entertaining, product of a wild and daring imagination. So I put that on the cover. And, you know, I am following the one rule of thumb that I've learned thus far is I can't tell people what this is. I can't, like, say this is this, because no one will believe it just to hear it, and they'll think I'm arrogant. So I have to make them curious. I have to do anything to make them curious so they'll reach further and say, I wonder what could be getting a testimonial like that one. And so that was it. A preposterous... But in any case, you heard it. Well, we're going to go into our questions for tonight. And again, I really am grateful for all of you, because you guys give the motivation for us to do this. If no one cares, then why would you do it? And so, you know, we're not different than you, except that we have these conversations with the other side. Maybe we're all different from each other. But nonetheless, somebody has to appreciate it to make it worthwhile doing. You know, somebody said something, asked a question about death today, which, you know, one of the things I realize is, I realized this for a while, the thing that makes you stay alive is when someone else values what you're doing. And whether it doesn't have to be a big thing, it can be your children, it can be your husband, it can be your aunt, it can be your neighbor. But when you're important to someone else and you feel the importance, it gives you a reason to be alive. And when you lose the will to live, it's because you're not creating value for someone. So please take that to heart. And if you're getting to that place where you wonder, why do you want to go another day, find someone to create value for. Of course, now, once you create value, you have another mountain, which is responsibility. Because once you let somebody value you, if you're operating at a very high level of, how would I say it, consciousness and awareness, anything you let someone do, if you take it away and it creates hurt, if you take it away consciously, you get karmically involved with that situation. For example, everyone knows this one, when guys go and have a relationship with a woman because they want to go to bed with them, and then after they get what they want and they disappear and they think it doesn't matter, it does, because they created hurt for that person. And by creating hurt, now they've created accountability. Now, sometimes hurt happens as a just a circumstance of a person's growth, and that's different. But this is where, you know, men know this. They know if you let someone love you and you suddenly cut them loose, it creates hurt. You can't do that. And one person that made a comment to me years ago, who I thought was wise, he said, if you're ever going to be involved with someone and it's not going to be a lifelong relationship, make sure you leave them better then you found them. And I thought there was an incredible amount of wisdom in that. Incredible, because nobody can begrudge you if you left them better than they were. Whether they're better because they're wiser or they're richer, any way that better can be interpreted, then you're kind of clear. But if you leave somebody bleeding and wanting, And I've done that earlier in my life, and I understand it now. It creates karma. And it doesn't just happen in love. It happens every which way. So it's one of the reasons we keep doing these calls, because the downside of creating value is the responsibility that we take on to hold the space for everyone that is using these calls as a way of centering themselves. And sooner or later, this all gets internalized. And many of you, it has to become internalized. And the calls are not such a means to hold yourself together, but it's your contribution just to show up and help hold other people together. The way that, and for those of you that are listening on the replays, you miss this, but there's a whole little community that develops from people that all know each other that are there at the beginning of the call, chatting, saying hello, telling jokes, very uplifted energy. And those people are all have learned to be there for each other and in a real way. And if you're missing that, start showing up early on the calls and get involved in that energy, because it's a good energy and it helps bring you out. Even, you know, I've watched people, they come in very shy, and, you know, a month later, they're in there talking to everybody. So try it out and listen. And let me see, we are about to start. It is 6:20. I'm not going to talk too much tonight. Let's see here. Uh-oh. We have Morgan. We have Vaughn. We're getting all these emails in. And Vaughn says, if I'm hungry after the conference call, I'm lying. Hey, Vaughn, you'll have to come to a Carlsbad. Vaughn is the gentleman that is letting me use his apartment, his empty apartment in and Los Angeles. By the way, here is Los Angeles, and here is a message from Bill. Hi, Bill. Bill is feeling out of it. Bill, you're one of those people. I've got to come in early on the calls. Believe me, you will appreciate it. Okay. And where's Bill? I don't know where Bill is, but just saying hello. And these calls really are for you and for me. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a reason to be here. I would have left this realm if it wasn't for these calls, and certainly if it wasn't for Terry. I would have gone probably a long time ago. So, all right. Don Herman wants to know what the best kind of water is. Terry knows that. Alkaline water.
I know that.
Well, Terry's more of an expert than me. You know, we got Carla Ruckert was on our Sunday call, and she participated on it with me, and she really got into it. She really enjoyed it, and she said such a beautiful thing about Terry. You want to hear what she said? Let me see here. I can't find it. Wait a second. Yeah, let's see if I can find it. And I think when we do this Saturday event, I have to clear this with Barry Morrow. But I think I'm going to try to have Carla on, and Carla and I will be like Regis and Kathy Wee, interviewing Barry Morrow. And I think that Carla is very articulate, and he'll like her. Plus, she made a movie. For those of you who don't know, she made a movie where she went topless years and years ago. And here's what Carla said to Terry. greatly enjoyed being with you and himself last Sunday. What a lovely program that is. I know a lot of folks are very uplifted. It's such a beautiful service. Your channeling was so good. I just mostly enjoyed sharing auras with you. It's most sweet to be in your aura. I imagine you hear that a lot. It's just true. I love you lots. That's from Carla to Terry. And I thought that was wonderful. Terry, aren't you the one that felt worthless most of her life?
Well, I always felt like I wasn't good enough because I always made stupid mistakes and was awkward and stuff. Like, you know.
That? You didn't know that the part of you was in the other realms just waiting to bring all this stuff through, huh?
Oh, well, you know, it was, I was there, so I kind of knew it. But there were my friends.
Okay. All right. So let's just start with calling in the light, Father, Mother, God. We ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself and everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of the solar system, through the fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And let me see our first question for tonight. This is Carolyn in Alaska. Does consciousness come from the brain, the heart, the spirit, or elsewhere?
Thank you. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator, and we are here tonight, at this juncture of the full moon and Earth, and we are delighted to spend this time with you, and we feel honored that you have joined our call, and we are here with you, not over the telephone line and not over the radio. We are directly here with you for those that wish to connect with us. And we are delighted with your questions. Give us a moment. Would you repeat the question, please?
The question is, does consciousness come from the brain, the heart, the spirit, or elsewhere?
Thank you. Consciousness is a manifestation of various degrees of awareness, various degrees of life, various degrees of life force, prana. Consciousness is in the heart. You're in your body. You have cells. And in their function and in their realm, they are conscious and they have specific duties that all work together to create the overall consciousness of the body and of the individual. So the individual who is working through the body is in a state of co-creation with the consciousnesses in the body, the consciousnesses in the heart, the consciousnesses in the brain. Consciousness resides outside of the body and in clear through to the higher realms. And it is all of these elements that are acting together, co-creating, to produce a human life. So the answer is that consciousness is in all of these things, and which consciousness prevails is which consciousness has the focus, has the intention, has the joy, the leadership, and they work together with all of the other consciousnesses involved in having a life. The consciousness within the body, the consciousness of the ground that one works on, walks on, the consciousness of the food that goes into replenishing the energies of the body, but the energies are also coming in through the prana, coming in through the ear one breathes, and it all works together. And when it is working together harmoniously, then you have a higher state of awareness. That is our answer.
Thank you. Question here from Edna, and it has to do with jumping in and out of dimensions. She talks about when she wakes up in the morning, it feels usually like a shock. While in her sleep state, she finds herself in a place which is more comfortable, sometimes filled with so much love and harmony. The place makes me feel light inside myself, and it feels like there is home. When I wake up, my brain takes over, turns on, and I always have a hard time to come back here in this physical body. I want to go back there momentarily to the beautiful place. Sometimes I get upset and refuse to come back to my body in this third dimension. I try to go back there by forcing to sleep, but it does not work. It is a heavy, uncomfortable sensation to adapt back to the moment here. Once I wake up, that is because I know that the other place is better and is where I want to be. So my question is, where do I go? What dimension do I go into? And how do I get to stay there if I want to? And how can I come back there in this wonderful, peaceful place while physically awake and while my brain is in operation? I'm trying to understand what is happening. Thank you.
Thank you. That is a lovely question. We see that many people, as they go into the dream state, are having counseling, getting back home to the state where they are homogeneous, where they are whole, where they know that they are loved and they give and take love. And this is a training that other worlds is a training for the third dimensional world. It is a training for the stabilization of your soul as it goes through the lessons in the third density. It is a fount of support for you that regenerates and refreshes you when you are sleeping and are on the other side. And the dreams are very valuable and can give you the knowledge that you are loved and then give you strength to bring that feeling of equanimity, of wholeness into your life in the third density. So it is a bringing through of wholeness that your self craves, and in your life situations can, as you go through your day, see glimpses of what it would be to bring that wholeness into the third density with you and to create little areas that could spread to bigger areas of safeness and the feeling of being loved in this density.
Thank you. Suppose one had an open heart in their sleep and a closed heart in their waking. How does that help their points towards graduating this realm?
It is part of the lessons that one is going through, not all of all the experiences one goes through calls for an open heart. As there are situations and there are people with whom do not understand the open heart, and they are, say, stuck in rage or fear, and the response that they would understand is rage or fear, as it, the open heart and love would not reach them. However, one could get across, span the difference between a place where you are in a place of love and a place where they are in a place of fear and anger, could span the difference by moving into an emotional tone that was just a little bit higher than their emotional tone, but yet use it as a training for the person who was at the lower tone, as training to bridge the gap little by little, bringing them to a higher tone, say, is leading them. Sarcasm is one way to lead a person up. Humor is another way to lead another person up. Sarcasm and irony, wherein the tone is similar to theirs, but yet has an element of truth in it that can shine a little bit of a glimpse on their true positioning, and that there is a higher level for them to move into. This is where writers and plays and drama in your theaters can help lead a person to, or whole groups of people, to higher tones.
Thank you. When someone dies, did they manifest that outcome? Is karma always involved? When you hold a certain vibration of love and attract love and life, do you in turn avoid a premature death? That's from Abimbola Adesuye. I can't remember if he's in another country. Obviously, he's from another country. Thank you. Thank you, Abimbola.
Thank you. We take a moment and view you and see an energy handshake to you. And we appreciate your presence and your being with us. When an individual dies, it does not necessarily involve karma. It is very often the next step. For instance, we give you an example. If the body has not had the proper nutrition. And the body is in a difficult circumstance, then the individual who is within the body is not as connected to his life as the individual would be if they had a proper living environment and nutrition. And we see that you have looked at situations wherein this has happened to people, and it is seeming so unfair, and like, how would these people have this happen to them? How could they have this happen to them? It is so unfair that they were born into circumstances where this could exist. However, many of the people who were born into this circumstance are wanderers, and they are hoping against hope to make things better. And it is part of the thing that they have chosen to go through and to experience so that they may know in the future how best to help, how best to grow strong, and how best to provide for one's fellows and bring love and nourishment and wholeness into the third density realm. Some individuals moving into these circumstances are simply seeking knowledge of what is going on, how come there are circumstances like this, and they have chosen to experience it so that they can help in the future, so they can figure out ways through the challenges, and they can, in the future, can help build a world that is stronger and more loving towards individuals and individual groups that are struggling. We gear this answer somewhat for you, and so other people on the line can, although they are not having the same experiences, relate it perhaps to their own situations where they are undergoing economic distress. As far as death goes, death is a transition. It is an entrance to a new chapter in one's life. It is an entrance to a rejuvenation, a place where one can come home and rest and can take a look at their leisure, at their life, and see the things that they have done and that they, how they have affected others and others have affected them, and what is the outcome of their life and what are their areas that they need more work on. So it is a part of reestablishing wholeness. The life in the third density has some areas where the body is vulnerable, and it is part of the person's dipping in to experience in the third density and then remaining within the major part of their soul connected to the higher ground, the higher world, and as they are connected to the higher world, they can dip into the localized, the limited, the third density with the lower frequencies, and learn to experience what it is, and broaden and enrich their experience that allows them to be stronger, more knowledgeable. It is a very brave thing to come into the third density. And we love you dearly.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the question. And, you know, I know early on in when Daphne was first doing sessions, and I asked about past lives, they didn't really say very much, but they did say that I came into this realm many times. I died young. I was an orphan. And what I see is that when you're in the other realm, it seems easy to come in here and do this. But when you get here, it is not so easy because you forget everything from the other realm, and it takes a tremendous amount of conviction and passion to make anything like we're doing happen. And even to myself, to prove it to myself that it's real, it seems real. And so oftentimes it's the small things, the small values that you create for other people, and I said that at the beginning, that make life worth living, that make it important to be here. Question from Ron Watt. My sister recently gave birth to a stillborn baby boy named Carter. Their hopes and dreams were shattered. This is the second son they've lost within 16 months. Both were unable to take a breath on earth, and we buried Carter last Monday. Can you share anything about why Carter didn't enter this world, where he is now, and anything you can provide that I can share with the parents to make them feel better about it? Ron Watt.
Thank you. We see that Carter had some hopes of being born into the world, but his electrical potential, he could not get it high enough to make the body breathe. He could not connect enough with this world in the third density from the world in which he was coming from. He, within his own individual cocoon of existence, did not wish enough to leave where he was at. He experienced something grand, a beginning attempt in coming into the third density, a beginning, but to be in the womb and to be that much connected was totally congruent with his existence and his desire for safety and protection. And when he came out of the womb, he was unwilling to let that go. It is part of Carter's growth and part of his dipping in to the third density just a little bit, to dip into it a little bit and still be safe and feel loved. And when he is able to reach out from his safety cocoon and to reach more into the third density, he may be able to establish a life here. We send love and safety, which is what he is experiencing and what he experienced with your sister. And he really is appreciative of that chance to be this near to life.
Thank you very much. Heis asked the question, when we put things into the love light, is there a greater creative effect when only the desired results are being verbally and emotionally brought forth, rather than asking for the unwanted situation to be changed? Let me see if I understand that. The desired results being verbally and emotionally brought forth, maybe we've talked about this. Sometimes Valerie says that. If somebody is sick, instead of putting their healing or change of their sickness into the light, you would put them, seeing them as whole and well. And the question is there a difference or advantage, a preference of doing it one way or the other?
Yes. When you, if we say the other way first, when you put this, consider the sickness and then changing the sickness, you are putting the barrier first. You are putting what needs to happen in a way that it is setting up the sickness is a barrier to be overcome, to be worked through, and to get across, and to do away with. However, if you go straight to the result that you wanted, you are bypassing all that hard work in getting over the sickness. And you are setting an example for the body, for the cells of the body, of how they could be, how they could work together, how it would be without that sickness barrier. And you are jumping across that barrier just all in one fell swoop by putting there the healing, the magic, the way, the result, the final point of not having that sickness there. And you do not wish to, on the other hand, figure that you do and you don't, to figure that the sickness doesn't exist. If you look at things exactly the way they are, but yet don't put the barrier of the name of the disease there. You don't put it in the way. You look at it and don't give it a name. It's like we can use the analogy of the bottle of water, and you put the sign love on it, and the structure of the water gets the message, and the structure of the water changes. So if you are working with a body condition and you put the label on it, and immediately when you put the label on it, whether it is any of the deadly diseases, if you put the label on it, the cells get the message immediately. And there they are, and they are starting just at the sound of it to take on the essence of disorder, the essence of disruption that is there that is creating the problem. But when you put love on the bottle, or you put the healthy condition, the cells get the message, and they start just in the putting of the healed, that even contains a healed, the word healed contains a connotation that there's something to get over. But when you put the way that you wish the body to be, you wish it to have 20/20 vision, and you put that there, I mean, the cells begin to get the idea but you can't also overlook the fact of where it is, because that has to change. But you, within your own mind, need to get over that barrier that it is something that the body is in trouble with. And once you, in your mind, can get over that, then the body can change. This is a fine distinction here, but it's very important. Perhaps we could give you a quick example of David Hawkins, who had less than 20/20 vision. He could barely see, and he had big thick glasses. And so he kept imagining, I can see perfectly, I can see perfectly, I can see, I got 20/20 vision, 20/20 vision. But he couldn't. And the only time that he could was when he was in intense danger of going over a cliff or something. And then all of a sudden he could see 20/20, but then his vision would get bad again. And so he finally said to himself, you know, I'm never going to be able to see. I just have to accept that fact. And once he accepted the fact that there was that barrier there, and he had been putting 20/20/20/20 there as the goal, and once he totally looked at that he couldn't see, then it was able to set change in motion, and his vision went to 20/20 and stayed. And so within that story is the answer to the question.
Thank you very much. That will be our last question tonight. We have about 1 minute left. And so I just want to tell you a little bit about this Saturday call. Of course, I'm always a little nervous about saying anything in advance in case it doesn't happen this way. But as of right now, Barry Morrow, who wrote The Rain Man, won an Academy Award for it, is going to help us and do a fundraiser on Saturday morning, and we're just going to chat with them. And Carla Ruckert has agreed to help me interview Barry, and in somewhere in the ethers, there's the possibility that Barry will end up doing a movie about our story and what happened. We already have had many meetings about it, and in fact, I met Barry in 2002 on the very same day that I left that expo in Monterey and drove through Santa Barbara and had lunch with Barry and was pitching him on doing a movie. I never met him. Somebody introduced me and said I should call him. I was pitching him on doing a movie on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And a few months later, I was with Daphne, and I called him up, and he said, that's a much better story than the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And we've been talking about it ever since. And at that time, we were not doing conference calls. My book was not published. Nothing was happening. And I said to myself, what a great way to get this out there, to do a movie. And then I saw that even though Barry was willing to do it, he was not able to make a movie happen because he'd been out of the movie loop. He had found that Hollywood was not very responsive to sensitive movies, the kind of movies he wanted to make. So I was the one that had to make it happen, and I did try for a while, and I couldn't get it going in the right way. Still out there. Still could happen. It's not dead. And if anyone of you happens to know anyone, you know, the problem is to make a movie in the right way, to get the Elohim's energy into it, and not to turn it into a Hollywood thing, although probably anything is better than nothing, because it'll focus attention on this work. So in any case, I haven't sent the email out. but I'll send it out. It's probably going to be a $7 suggested donation, but you can do less, and we'll go for at least 2 hours, 10 o'clock Saturday morning, and I hope you'll participate. One of the things about this is that I don't think Barry quite understands the impact that this work is having. I think to him it looked like it was going to be a cult of some sort. So having him come on and feel everybody and feel the energies and have questions, you're playing a part in helping anchor the energies for something that could happen in the future. So on that note, watch your emails. I might get it out tonight. I'll certainly get it out tomorrow. And, you know, it's kind of a small circle because the Rain Man had Tom Cruise. And if you've never heard me say this, Tom Cruise, before he made his first movie, spent 2 years attending Carla Ruckert's channelings, and he was living in Louisville, Kentucky. So we will see what happens. And on that note, I'll open up the mics. We can all say goodbye. The mics are all open.
Unmuted.
Let's see. Do I hear you?
Hello,
Wayne. Yes.
Good night. Thank you.
And, you know, I'm not getting any your emails.
Good night, Wayne.
Hello.
Check your spam for...